and it's a lot of rain, and that's good to see it. It's good to see the rain. It's good to clear the air sometimes. And when we were at Fred Meyer the other day, and it was pouring down rain, and people were coming in, they didn't have umbrellas, and I said, you know who the real Oregonians are, because we don't carry umbrellas. We just have a hat on, or we have a something over our heads, but most of the time we just get wet. Today we're going to be finishing our sermon series on overflowing outreach, and we've talked a lot about witnessing, and we've talked a lot about how we can make a difference in our own lives as well as in the lives of people the closest to us, our family. There's many of us who have family who are not in church, who may not have a strong relationship with Jesus, and we want to encourage you to continue to work with them and continue to encourage them and encourage them to make this a part of their lives and join us on Sunday morning. I know it's difficult. I know it's not easy. Because once someone reaches a certain age, you really can't tell them what to do. And it's tough to convince them of that. But by showing our love for them and by sharing our faith and encouraging them, hopefully our family and our friends will want to come to know Christ. We've been using the scripture from John 10, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And I shared the fact that God has given us this amazing gift of his love and joy and peace. And we shared about that four-tier fountain and how it begins at the top and it overflows and moves down into not just our families and our coworkers and friends, but it moves into our community. And as we are seeing, it moves into the world around us. For those of us who are in Awana, last week we got to see a video of the couple, the pastor and his wife, and a couple young ladies from their church went to Uganda. I was going to say Kenya, but Uganda. And they shared all the bracelets that the children made and some of the boxes like these that were shared with them. And what was it, somewhere like 500 children were blessed because of the work that we have done and other churches have done and other people have done. That's an overflowing outreach. Something as simple as putting a bracelet together or putting a group of things together in a small box is an overflowing outreach. And God wants us to be so affected by the joy and the peace and the love that he's given us that it will overflow into the lives of other people and that other people will be able to see it and experience it as well. And so I want us, in concluding this sermon series, I want us to look at three things that I think are important when it comes to us reaching the world. Now, for some of us, the world is right here in Astoria. You know, there's some of us that we just don't go very far. We don't think about other countries. We don't think about traveling to far-off places because this is kind of where we are. And if that's your little world, then that's where we reach. We reach this place. And I'm very proud of the fact that as a church, even though we may be small in numbers, but we're big in heart, and we've done a lot of things for this community, and the community knows about it. The community knows about it. So there's three things I want to get through this morning. The first is that God sends you. He's sending you into the world. He's sending you into your communities and even into your own families and extended families to bring people to him. There's an interesting verse in John chapter 17, verse 18, but I want to give you a little background beforehand. Jesus is praying to his disciples. As a matter of fact, this whole chapter is Jesus praying to his disciples. And he's praying for his disciples who are with him while he was still alive, but he's also praying for his disciples for the time after his death and resurrection. So therefore, what he's really doing is he's not only praying to those 12 disciples, for those 12 disciples, but he's praying for us, because we are an extension of that. So he's praying that we can make a difference in the people's lives, that we can carry on the mission. So verse 18 of chapter 17 of John says, "As you sent me into the world," this is Jesus talking about his Father in heaven, "I also have sent them into the world." So in the same way that Jesus is saying he was sent, God is sending us. He's sending us into the world to save and bring people to Christ. As we are Christians, we are a part of the family of God. We have been changed and we have been redeemed. We are a new creation in God. And so because of that, he has given us something that is amazing. He's given us a job to do. And I want us to think about this. Jesus is sending us into the world. He's sending us to make a difference. He is not only sending us, but he has commissioned us. We have been commissioned by God. We have been commissioned to go out and make a difference in our own families and in the world around us. Our sins have been forgiven. We have a new home, an eternal home in heaven. We have a purpose for living. We are important in the eyes of Christ. How many of you, when you get up in the morning and you think, boy, what have I accomplished? What have I done? I don't know what I'm doing. What's my reason for being here? The reason is because God created you. You were born into a family that he wanted you to be a part of. He gave you everything. He gave you helped you through your education, through your work, your job, whatever it is that you do. He's placed you in that for a reason. And he's brought you to Astoria and to this church for a reason. We have been commissioned by God to serve God. Just as God the Father sent Jesus into the world, Jesus sends us. Just as God empowered Christ, God empowers you. As God commissioned Jesus, God is commissioning you. In the same way that Jesus reached the entire world, God wants you to reach the entire world. We can often get overwhelmed by this great commission. It seems so big and large and huge, but listen to what Jesus tells his disciples in Mark. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's huge. That's gigantic, and it seems like it's too difficult for us to do that. How are we going to have an impact in the entire world just on our own, in our little corner of the world? What are we going to do to make a difference? How do you do that? Well, I came up with an analogy for you. You're going to do it the same way you eat an elephant. One bite at a time. So, in other words, you're going to do what Jesus did. Jesus touched the world, but he touched it the same way he wants us to touch it. One person at a time, by accepting people where they are, by talking to them, listening to them, helping them in times of crisis. And in that way, we serve them. There's an old saying I heard somewhere that said, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And so, what is our first step? Our first step is to get to know the people. Get to know them where they are. Get to know them where they live. And not judge them or think of them as a waste of time. Because I want to tell you something, people. There's a lot of people out there who know God, but they wouldn't set foot in a church. There's a lot of people out there who believe in Jesus, but they won't set foot in a church because someone has hurt them, someone has said something about them. There's a lot of people out there who have fallen through the cracks because those of us who should have been loving, caring, who should have been listening, who should have been sharing and caring, were not. We need to give hope to those who feel hopeless. We need to offer direction to those who are heading down the wrong path. God sent us into the world. But what I have found is that the world that God is sending us to is where we are right now. Where we are right now. God placed us here in Astoria for a reason, so that we can have an impact in the people of Astoria. Because as we affect the people in Astoria, like that four-tier fountain, we are going to affect people in other places. And it goes on and it goes on. Because the people that come to us are going to be, at some time, affecting the lives of others. And it just keeps growing and it keeps growing. If us as a church, if we were willing to do what we need to be doing, what we should be doing, all of us, myself included, what a difference we can make. We need to help the people who are around us, the people we come in contact with. We need to touch them and put our touch that God has given us into their lives and into the world. That is the world that God has sent us to. And the second thing that happens is God changes you. 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. One of the things that can be frustrating sometimes is that I see people that were Christians, and I also remember them when they weren't. And their personalities haven't changed. The things that they do now is not any different than the things they did before they were Christians. Doesn't that go against Scripture? Doesn't that go against what we're reading in 2 Corinthians? If we are truly followers of Christ, if we truly have Jesus in our heart, then we shouldn't be the same people we were. We should be new people with new hearts and new perspectives and new desires. New personalities, new character traits. I mean, that's who we should be. We have all been given a purpose. And that purpose is to help the world. Our sins have been forgiven. We have a home in heaven. We have not only a purpose, but we have a purpose for living. And it's not about us. God has changed you for a purpose. He's changed you so that you can have an impact in the lives of people. Again, one of my favorite verses of all time, and one that it just boggles my mind when I read it, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Which tells me that even before we were born, God had a plan and a purpose for us. He had a place for us. He had big dreams for us. He gave us our personalities. He gave us our talents and skills, not so we can say, look at me, but so that other people can experience Christ. Notice in the verse that God has changed you for a purpose, for good works. That means that we're not like some old book that we put on a shelf and it just collects dust and we marvel, take it down once in a while and dust it off and put it back. We're not some trophy or knickknack. God has saved you. Christ has saved you and changed you so that you can touch the world. And I think of some of you who are working. And you work and you do all these wonderful things. And you ever wonder why God put you in that job? You ever wondered why God has given you the opportunity to travel for your job or to make contacts with people in other places? You ever wonder how that happened? It wasn't by accident. Because God put you there for a reason. He gave you that job for a reason. Because you're supposed to have an impact in the lives of people. And as I look out here this morning and I look at some of you who are working, I look at, you know, we have Dawn who works at Safeway, right? What an impact Dawn can have on people at Safeway. Simply by doing his job and doing it well. And we have others who work with people all the time, and what an impact they can have on their lives. You can have a far greater impact in their lives than I ever could. That's why you're the ministers of the church. And the third thing is that God empowers you. God empowers you to have an impact in the world around you. Do you know what God, or you know what Jesus rather called his disciples? Anyone know? He told them in Matthew 5:13 that they were the salt of the earth. Now, we know that salt is pretty common, right? It's something that we see all the time. I think all of us here probably have salt in your home. I can't use salt very much because of blood pressure and things like that. But I know that if I go to the store and buy some product, it's probably going to have salt in it, right? But I learned that salt has at least four things that it does. There's four things that it helps. For those of us who live in places where there's a lot of snow, we realize that salt is effective in melting ice. When you mix it with sand, the people that are taking care of our highways, the road department, they mix sand and salt, and it helps to melt the frozen highways. What about as Christians? We have the ability, and some of you may go, boy, that's a stretch, but we have the ability to melt the hearts of people from living this hard-hearted people, melting their hearts so that they can come to a place where they cry out for Christ. We have that ability. Simply by allowing God's love to flow through us, we have the ability to melt the hearts of people and change their hearts so that they would be coming to Christ and, in effect, changing the world. Salt also preserves food. It helps food taste better. It makes a difference. So what about us? Part of the reasons that we are here is to give people hope. We have been here placed here to share the good news. And by sharing the good news, we can proclaim a message of hope, which may seem at times as a hopeless situation, but we can preserve their lives. We can preserve their lives. We can encourage them in their walk. By sharing the good news, we are giving them hope for tomorrow when they may not feel like there's any hope. And folks, there's a lot of people right now that are right here, maybe even in this sanctuary right now, and there's also a lot of people out there on the streets this morning. There's a lot of people sitting at home this morning. There's a lot of people who aren't in church today who cannot find hope. They cannot find it. They've tried in every other place, but they can't find it. And so I want to encourage us today to preserve the people by sharing that hope. The third thing is that salt makes people thirsty. Isn't it interesting that as we live our lives, people see what we're doing. They see how we react to things around us. And then they start going, what makes you so different? Why are you acting? Why are you always happy? Why are you always positive? Why are you always wanting to pray for us? What is your deal? There's an open door to share Christ. In effect, take care of those who are thirsty for God. And finally, salt enhances the flavor of food. I've found that it doesn't take a lot of salt to change the flavor of food. And as a matter of fact, it usually just takes a little bit to make a difference. And what that tells me is, can you see this one coming? It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to love someone to Christ. It doesn't take much to lead them to find the hope. Sometimes doing the smallest thing can have the greatest impact. Matthew 10 says, "And if anyone given even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." It's the simplest thing. We can do it. We can have and show hope in Christ by doing the littlest thing. We don't have to have some big, elaborate situation that we provide. It could be simply praying for someone. It could be simply buying them a cup of coffee, giving them a card for McDonald's, whatever it may be, giving them some shoes that they need for work, the simplest thing. Folks, we have been put here on earth to minister to people who are around us in the world. And most of us rush through life. We just try to fill ourselves, our schedules up with so much stuff so we don't have to remember or deal with those things that we don't want to deal with. We just keep running this way and that way, and we forget that the most important thing we can do is share God's love, to listen to them and acknowledge them, make friends with them, and maybe, just maybe, they will ask you why you're so different. What is it about you? Then you can tell them that God notices them, that God acknowledges them and listens to them, and that God can touch their life as never before. To let them know that if they turn to God, their sins are forgiven, they have an eternal home in heaven, and a purpose for living. And as a church, we can do that. As individuals, we can do that. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have brought us together, and I thank you that as we grow together in faith, that we never stop trying to share the hope that we have in you. To thee, even these, those of the least of these, those who are having a hard time finding hope. I mean, they may even have jobs, they may even have careers, but they still don't have hope. And so, Lord, we pray as a church that we can share that hope in our words, and in our actions, in our compassion, in our love. And I pray that you will guide us and direct us in all of that. And I pray this in your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. As we stand and sing our closing song, I want us to remember that if you want prayer this morning, we want to pray for you. If you want to dedicate or rededicate your life to Christ, we can do that. We'd love to have you do that. If you'd like to become a member of this church, you can come forward during this time as well. Let's stand.